Before we begin this morning, there's some confusion over something we taught last week. I want to try to clear that up. By the way, if you have questions, I encourage you to raise your hand as we teach the lesson. I'll try to get to you and answer your question as we go along. But we're in Romans chapter 5. And let me find... Okay, let's start with verse 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That began with Adam's sin. And with Adam's sin, we all received his nature. It's called the Adamic nature. It's called the sin nature. It has several names, but it's all the same thing. So when we read the word sin here in this chapter, we're primarily talking about the sin nature that produces sins, plural. So in verse 13 it says, "For until the law, sin was in the world." So that was Moses' law. So until the law of Moses, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Sin is defined as transgression of the law. So if there's no law, there can be no transgression. Right?
Yes.
So if there is sin in the world, there must be a law in the world. So the next verse says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Now, it does not say they had not sinned. It says they have not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Adam disobeyed a direct command. And that's what Moses' law was, a direct command from God. In between, we have no record of direct commands. So they did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Nevertheless, sin reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is the figure of him that was to come? So that was the thing I wanted to cover with you and make sure we have an understanding on that passage. Anybody have a question on that? So he goes on to teach that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So the more sin there is in the world, the more grace there must be to cover that sin. And Paul taught that principle. And so the question was raised, well, if more sin means more grace, then why don't we just continue in sin? So we go to chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, the word we, the pronoun we, is talking about whom? Christians, saved people. Shall we continue in sin, abide in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid, let it not be so. How shall we, Christian people, saved people, that are dead to sin? Now, let's pause right there for a minute. Paul says we who are saved are dead to sin. What's the definition of death? How do we define it? Don't we define it as separation? Physical death is separation of the soul and spirit from the body. Spiritual death is separation of the person from God eternally. Death is separation. So if we're dead to sin, what does that mean? There must be a what? a separation. We were bound to sin. We were bound to that sin nature, the carnal nature, the Adamic nature. We were bound and made one with that nature. David said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We were born wrong the first time. But this verse tells us that when we get saved, we become dead to sin. You know what that means? We're separated from sin. We're no longer united to sin. When we're born into this world, we respond to the stimuli of sin. We're bound to it. And so later on, Paul tells us we were slaves to sin. Now, when I was alive to sin, I was dead to God. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that, doesn't it? We were dead in trespasses and sins, dead to God, but alive to sin. When I got saved, I became dead to sin.
Amen.
And alive to God.
That's right. Amen.
I no longer respond to the stimuli that sin has to offer me, whether it be the world, the flesh, or the devil. I no longer respond to that, but now I respond to the stimuli that God offers me. I can't do both. I'm either alive to God or I'm alive to sin. I can't be alive to both.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Amen.
Now, it does not say in that verse that sin died or that sin was removed. I was removed. Sin still is there. The sin nature is still there. And where is there? Right here. The flesh. Paul said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. I moved. When I got saved, I moved from being bound to the flesh and that sinful nature to being bound to God and His nature. Peter said we became partakers of the divine nature. That means we share that nature. So when you get saved, according to this verse, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's a rhetorical question. And the answer to that question is, you can't. You can't do that. You're either alive to God or you're alive to sin. Now, if you're alive to God and you respond to His stimuli, if you will, are you going to read your Bible? The psalmist commented, how love I thy law. It is my meditation. Do we love God's word?
Amen.
I'll tell you how to answer that question. Do you read it? Not just do you read it, but do you believe it? And it's not just do you believe it, but do you practice it? If you love me, keep my word.
Amen.
That's what that means. So we can ask ourselves, do I really love God? Am I really one of His children? Have I really moved from the sinful nature, the carnal nature, to the spiritual nature? Have I moved or haven't I? Each of us must answer that question for ourselves. And how do you answer it? You answer it by what stimuli do you respond to? If it's Sunday morning, would I rather be at church or lying in bed? If your answer is lying in bed, what stimuli are you responding to? Now, that appetite of the flesh is still there.
That's right.
And we can respond to it. But here's the good part. We don't have to.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. Amen.
Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
Power over sin. I was a slave to sin. I'm not anymore.
Amen.
If I sin now, it is by my own choosing.
That's right.
My own choice.
Exactly.
He gave me that power. So he says here in this verse, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And the answer to that question is, we can't. Before we go on, if you're saved, born again, child of God, and you have moved from the carnal nature to the spiritual nature, but you're still living like a carnal Christian, how do you describe that individual? That's one word, backslidden, or hypocrite. If you're a saved person on their way to heaven and you live like a person who isn't, you're a hypocrite.
That's good.
Just like if you're a lost person trying to emulate a saved person, that person too is a hypocrite. Any person who's trying to portray themselves as being something they're not is a hypocrite. What should we do? Well, Paul said it like this: work out your own salvation. Work it out. Put into action who we really are. You want to be happy? That's the way to do it. If you were to take a fish and put it in a tree branch, would it be very happy?
No.
If you took a bird and put it in the middle of the ocean, would he be very happy?
No.
Why? That's not where he belongs. That's not who he is. So you take one of God's creatures and put him where he doesn't belong, he is not going to be very happy. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, do you know where a Christian belongs? If he's not there, he's not going to be happy. Or 11 o'clock, or 6 o'clock Sunday evening, or 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening, or when God's work is going forward and we're not there, by choice, we're not going to be very happy. Most of us want to be happy. How many want to be happy? Okay. Here's how you do it. It's very simple. It's not complicated. Have I said anything yet that causes confusion? All right, let's go to verse 3. Know ye not Do you not know, he says, that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?
Amen.
Do you not know that so many of us, now he's talking about all the saved, because when you get saved, what do you do next? What do you do next? You get baptized. When does baptism take place? After you get saved. If you got baptized before you got saved, you're not baptized.
That's right. Amen. You're wet.
Baptism comes after salvation. It is a testimony, is what it is. It's a testimony to what you believe about Jesus. It's a testimony about what happened to you when you got saved. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's see. Well, let me say this too about baptism. When should you get baptized? How long after you get saved? Immediately. Not a year down the road or 6 months down the road, 10 years down the road. When should you get baptized? As soon as you get saved.
Amen.
Now, why do I say that? Read the book of Acts. When they got saved in the book of Acts, what did they do? The next thing they did was, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. When were they? Then. Acts 16, the Philippian jailer at midnight came to Christ, and before the sun rose, he had been baptized. In the Bible, baptism was important. It should still be important today. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. When we get baptized, we believe that Jesus lived a sinless life, that he died and was buried. That's what happens. That's what we do with dead people, isn't it? We bury them. So when we get baptized, we put them under the water. I've never seen anybody baptized by sprinkling a few grains of dirt on their head. Have you?
No.
You get buried that way? How do you bury a person? You put them where?
Put them
under the ground. So when we represent burial, we put them under the water. Which is what baptism means, to immerse, to submerge, to plunge, to put them under the water. If you haven't been immersed, you haven't been baptized. If you didn't get baptized after you got saved, you haven't been baptized. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death. Jesus died and was buried. Therefore, we are buried with him. We are buried with him by baptism into death. In other words, what he's saying is, our testimony is that when Jesus died, we died. And what did we die to? Sin. That was my testimony when I got baptized. That when I got saved, I died to sin. When you got baptized, that was your testimony. That you died to sin. Along with Jesus. Now, if you're dead to sin, are you going to live any longer therein? So should we practice it in our daily life? No, if we are practicing sin in our daily life, we're inconsistent in our walk.
Amen.
How can two walk together except they be agreed? There's therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
See, you have a choice. It's one or the other. Well, preacher, you're trying to make everything black or white when it's gray. You know, there's nothing gray.
Amen.
It's black or it's white.
Amen.
It's right or it's wrong. Well, preacher, you make it sound so simple. It is.
Amen.
We make it hard.
That's right.
Because we want to make it fit our theology, our lifestyle.
Right. Amen. Preach it, come on.
Therefore, verse 4, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Not only did we die with Christ, but we also rose with Christ.
Amen.
When I would baptize, I would do this, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, not the old creature made over, a brand new creature. The old creature was bound to the sin nature. The new creature is not bound to that old sin nature. The new creature is bound to the new nature, the divine nature he received from God when he got saved. He not only changed location, he changed his nature. He is a new being, a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but a new what? A new creature. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything but a new creature. Let me ask you, are you a new creature in Christ Jesus this morning?
Amen.
Are you living that out in your daily life?
Amen. That's good.
If you're not, you need to. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus came out of that grave, never to sin again. Now, before he went into the grave, he had become sin. He was sin. All my sins and all your sins were placed on him. But when he came out of that grave, sin has now been removed from him forever. He'll never die again.
Amen.
He ever liveth, the Bible says. When we come out of that grave with him, we are no longer under sin. We're not under the penalty of sin. We're not under the power of sin.
Praise God.
We're still in the presence of you. I know that every day. I'm reminded of that every day, aren't you?
Amen.
Every day I face choices. Am I going to do A or B? I know A is what God wants, but this is what I prefer. Which one am I going to do? I think of the Garden of Eden. You know, God placed Adam and Eve in the garden. And said, of all the trees in the garden, thou mayest freely eat except for one tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. One tree. All the trees in the garden. I don't know how large the garden was, but I would assume it occupied several acres at least. And he put one tree in there that was forbidden. Now, he didn't put that tree in an obscure, remote corner of the garden, did he? Where did he put that tree? Right in the very center of the garden. Why did he put it there? Because Adam and Eve couldn't go anywhere without passing by that tree. God put it there as a daily reminder of who He is.
Amen.
And when I'm faced with a choice, I'm faced with a reminder of who He is.
Amen.
Not only am I faced with a reminder of who He is, but I'm faced with a reminder of who I am. What am I going to do on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock? Well, because of who I am, I'm going to be in church.
Amen.
Because of who I am, I'm going to read my Bible.
Amen.
Because of who I am, I'm going to pray.
Amen.
Have I said anything this morning that's confusing?
No.
It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Amen.
Verse 5. For if we have been planted together. Now, he's continuing that same illustration of baptism. Now he applies it to planting. If you plant something, do you spread the seed on the top of the ground or do you put it under the ground? If you plant something, you put it under the ground, don't you?
Amen.
Under the water. If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
By the way, that's the source of eternal security.
Right. Amen. That is, yes.
I have His nature.
Amen.
I'll go beyond that. I have His life.
Amen.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear.
Amen.
His life is my life.
Amen.
If you're saved, His life is your life.
That's right.
Are we living His life today?
That's good teacher. Amen.
If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. If we claim to be buried with Him, but we're not living like it, what does that say? Well, one of two things. Either we weren't buried with Him, or we're a hypocrite. One or the other. You Yeah, but Joe over there, he doesn't go to church faithfully. It doesn't matter what Joe does. I don't answer to Joe. We come up with so many excuses. You heard that song, Excuses, Excuses? You hear them every day? The devil, he supplies them. If from church, you'll stay away. I get so tired of hearing excuses. I can't imagine how tired God must get from hearing excuses. And they're not reasons, they're only excuses.
Amen.
Yeah, but preacher, I have this obligation. Well, you had another obligation before you had that one.
Right.
Your first obligation is to Him. We get our priorities mixed up. And because we do, the cause of Christ suffers.
That's right. You're right, teacher. Amen.
I mean, these pews ought to be filled this morning.
Yep. Exactly.
You know why they aren't? Excuses. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, that's the man that's bound to the sin nature, the Adamic nature, the old man is crucified with him. That means he's what? Dead. He died with him. You ever see a dead body? If you pinch that dead body, will it respond? If you stick it with a pin, will it respond? Why? It's dead. It can't respond to stimulation. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin. Where does sin reside? In the body. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's the whole purpose.
Amen.
The whole purpose of the cross is that we not serve sin. For he that is dead is what? Freed from sin. When I was in the flesh and I received a stimulus from the flesh, I was bound to respond to it. I could not respond to God at all. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. He doesn't have the capacity to know them. He's dead to God when he's lost. For he that is dead to sin, is freed from sin. That means no longer do I respond to that. I'm free. What's that song? Praise God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His saving grace.
Amen.
Have you been saved? This is a wonderful book.
Amen.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also what?
Live with Him.
Live with Him.
Amen. Praise God.
I mean, he went into the grave, but he came out of that grave.
Yes.
Alive.
Amen.
And he's alive forevermore. And we are taught and we believe that when Jesus died, we died. And when he came out of that grave, we came out alive when we got saved.
Amen.
And we're alive forevermore. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Boy, isn't that good this morning?
Yes.
I was telling my wife this morning, before we got out of bed this morning, we have something to look forward to.
Amen.
Hmm? I feel sorry for lost people. They don't have anything to look forward to.
That's right. Amen.
Today is the best day of their life. They'll never have a better day than they have today.
Right.
But today is the worst day of my life. Every day from this day forward is going to get better. Hallelujah.
Amen.
How can I get down? How can I get discouraged? I have a future.
Amen.
If you're saved, you do too. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. If it hath no more dominion over him, it hath no more dominion over me. For in that he died unto sin, once. That means once and for all.
Amen.
Never again to die.
Amen.
But in that he liveth unto God. And just as he lives unto God, we who came out of that grave with him, we are to live unto God.
Amen.
When? Every Sunday morning.
Day. 24/7,
Amen. 52 weeks out of the year, for our entire life here on this planet, we're to live unto God.
Amen.
That is our priority, number one priority. That comes before anything else. Seek ye
first
the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When? All the time. And all these things shall be added unto you. What a wonderful promise. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Now get it. It's one or the other. There's no going back and forth between the two. It's one or the other. Which one are you?
Mm-hmm.
Only you know.
Amen.
If you're not saved this morning, let me encourage you. Get saved today.
Amen.
You have no promise of tomorrow.
Right.
Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth.
Amen.
Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white. Come now. Get it resolved now. Oh, I know there's a little voice that said, well, I'll do that, but just not right now. You know whose voice that is?
It's the flesh.
That's the devil. And the devil is a liar. He doesn't just lie some of the time. He lies all the time. He never tells the truth. Why would you listen to him? I'm going to give you an illustration. I'll close. We used to have vacation Bible school. In vacation Bible school, the devil would come and visit. But he would come when Miss Hickson was out of the room. And he would come and he would encourage the kids to whisper and to throw things and to destroy order in the Bible school until Friday came. And on Friday, the devil came and he brought a package. It was all about that size, wrapped in beautiful foil paper with a big ribbon on the top of it. He brought a gift for Miss Hickson because he was feeling bad about how he treated her all week long. Well, he leaves and Miss Hickson comes back and sees that gift. And they said the devil was here and he left you a gift. And she looked at that box and said, wonder what's in it. Maybe it's a pair of shoes. Maybe it's a new dress. I wonder what's in it. That would go on for 5 minutes or so. And the anticipation is building in those kids. And finally they say, open it. Open it. We want to see what's in it. And so Ms. Hickson opens the box. That beautiful box wrapped in foil wrapping paper and the beautiful ribbon on the top. She opens the box and she shows the kids what's in the box. You know what was in that box? It's empty. It's empty. Now there's a lesson in that. And the lesson is this. The devil presents everything in a beautiful package. Go to Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful, but it's empty. Everything the devil has to offer us is empty. God offers something that's real.
Amen.